From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. When you hear about the viral disease known as measles, does it cause you any concern? I would imagine for a lot of people it probably doesn't, as it was declared eliminated in the U.S. in the year 2000. That meant there was no transmission of the virus in the preceding 12 months. It's no longer constantly circulating among our population, but travelers can continue to bring it to the United States, affecting people who might not have been vaccinated. Indeed, since that declaration, there have been stories of measles outbreaks across the U.S., with many occurring in the past decade or so. Some notable outbreaks documented include one at Disneyland in 2014-2015 and in the New York metropolitan area in 2018 and 2019. And earlier this month, the Chicago Department of Public Health announced it had detected two measles cases in a migrant shelter in the Pilsen neighborhood, with more following. And there's now a campaign to vaccinate migrants living in city shelters. Joining us now to talk through measles is Graham Briggs, the state epidemiologist at the Illinois Department of Public Health. Graham, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having me, Brian. It's always a pleasure to be here.
And listeners, in order to make our schedules work, we taped this conversation, but you can always let us know what you think by emailing talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org. All right. I'm guessing there's some number of people who barely, if ever, think about measles as a disease to be concerned about. So maybe you can just give us a brief overview of the disease and who should be worried about a measles outbreak.
Right. It's actually a good thing. You know, most people nowadays have never known anybody with measles, have never seen a case of measles. And that's really because of the last 50 years or so, we've really put a lot of effort into vaccinating the public and protecting ourselves from this disease. It is a little bit more nasty than things like chickenpox and some of the other common viral diseases that people get. Measles used to be extremely common because it's extremely infectious. It's easy to pass it from person to person. And so for those that are unvaccinated and get this disease, this starts off as high fever, cough, runny nose, really red, watery eyes about a week or so after people get exposed to this. And over the few days following, a rash comprised of small red dots basically usually starts around the person's hairline and then spreads down across their face and then onto their trunk and arms and legs. And that rash will last for a week or so and then go away. The thing that we get concerned about with measles is that, you know, for most people, this isn't going to be fun to have, but they are okay. You know, after they get infected, they're sick for, you know, a week or two and recover naturally. But this is more severe in some people than a lot of the other diseases that we work on. That's part of the reason why it was targeted for vaccination. For young children in particular, under 5 years old, there's a little bit higher risk of severe infection. With measles infection, about one in five people that get it end up in the hospital. They get sick enough to actually be admitted to the hospital for a short period of time. And this can cause things like pneumonia and in rare situations, encephalitis. It can cause long-term damage if we do see those more severe cases and lead to things like deafness and other complications that don't go away after the measles virus does, unfortunately. And we actually even see deaths associated with measles rarely. Between one and three people out of every 1,000 that get measles end up dying from it, unfortunately. So this can be a severe disease. It's something that we really prioritize in public health when we see it in a community. We work really hard to try to stamp out transmission as quickly as possible so that we don't end up with those severe cases showing up in communities that are impacted.
You mentioned it's very contagious. How is it contagious? How does it spread?
So this is one of the few true viruses, this is one of the few viruses that is truly airborne. When you're sick with measles, you cough up virus every time you cough, and that virus is able to float in the air for hours. So you technically, someone with measles could be sitting in, say, an emergency department or in a home or wherever, another person walking into that area with shared air, if they're not vaccinated, they've got over a 90% chance of acquiring measles. This virus, once it gets into the air, it will float in the air for hours even. So you could actually walk into a room after a measles case has left, yeah, half an hour ago or an hour ago, and still catch measles because the virus is still floating in the air from that person coughing in that room. So just extremely contagious. This is more or less the most contagious virus that we work with routinely in public health. So that's one of the reasons it's a priority whenever we spot a case.
Yeah, and one of the reasons is it's treated as like sort of a four-alarm fire when you hear about it. How does it compare with other diseases we've become sadly familiar with, like COVID-19 or the flu, at least in terms of transmissibility?
Yeah, the As far as transmissibility, again, it's extremely infectious for people that are not vaccinated. The big difference here that we see with COVID-19 as we went through that pandemic is we started off that pandemic where people had never seen this virus before. And so we had to get used to that virus. And that caused more severe disease as people's immune systems were ramping up and everything. Measles is a virus, as you mentioned in the intro, we eliminated from the United States, 20 years ago. And that's really due to the vaccination campaigns that we worked on. So for most people out there really isn't a risk of acquiring measles as long as we've got what we call herd immunity high enough. So about 95% of the population, just when we do the numbers on that, shows us that if we do get a measles introduction into, say, a classroom setting or an environment where there's a bunch of people around, if you get that 95% of people vaccinated, most of the time that measles virus isn't going to find somebody to jump into that's susceptible. Now, that might happen from time to time. We've seen that over the last decade or so where someone brings in measles from an area of the world where there's transmission going on and can end up exposing a group of people. And every once in a while, we might see one secondary case or something like that. I think what's concerning right now in the field of public health at a national level in the United States is that we're seeing more measles cases. We're seeing more transmission once cases get set up in a community. And we are seeing some waning vaccination rates as people are coming out of the pandemic. Some have fallen behind with their children and things like that. So we're a little bit concerned that there is a little bit more susceptibility out there in the population, and that can put especially those young children at risk if they are behind on their shots.
I mean, I understand you're a government official. You're putting it mildly. People behind on their vaccinations. There's resistance out there now to vaccination. That was the case even before the pandemic. We've seen it grown. Talk about the vaccine for measles. How safe is it? How effective is it?
One of the great victories that we've had, frankly, in public health are these vaccination efforts with a number of different diseases that we don't have to talk about, most of the time in the United States anymore, like diphtheria and measles and whooping cough and things like that. And so the measles vaccine in particular, for those that have received two doses, it's about 97% effective at preventing disease in people. So very effective vaccine, very safe vaccine. We've been using it for decades. And so in very, very rare circumstances, someone might have an allergic reaction to it, but that is extremely rare in the likelihood of potentially getting exposed to measles when there's a virus in the community moving around would be much more concerning to me as a parent than the tiny, tiny chance of having some sort of allergic reaction. Even in those situations, when someone is vaccinated, they can give a treatment to stop that allergic reaction. So very safe vaccine, very effective vaccine, and really the primary reason why we haven't historically seen measles, in most people's lifetimes in this country anymore.
Talk about the work that the Illinois Department of Public Health is doing, and I guess the sort of world of public health, epidemiology more generally, to try and meet people where they are, who are now, who have this newfound reluctance about vaccines that's grown up in the past few years.
Sure. So the way that the public health system works is across the country, we have local public health departments. In Illinois, most of those are county health departments, or in the case of Chicago, there's a city health department. And so those are really our front line in public health. The city of Chicago has done an extraordinary job, not only identifying cases, but then following up on all the contacts associated with those cases. They provided over 3,000 doses of vaccine in that impacted shelter, and now moving into other at-risk communities within the Chicago metropolitan area. So at that local level, that's where the relationships with communities are really important, because we've learned in public health, we can't just tell people, go get the shot. We really need to listen to the community and meet the community, like you mentioned, where people are at, and be able to provide the best information that we can to those community members that may be hesitant, so that they can make a more informed decision.
Graham Briggs is the state epidemiologist at the Illinois Department of Public Health. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
If you're just joining us, this is the 21st Show. We're talking about the ongoing measles outbreak in the Chicago area, and we're now going to get a firsthand account of the situation from Chicago Alderman Byron Cicho-Lopez, who represents the 25th Ward. Alderman, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It's good to be here.
So you have been working to urge migrants in the shelters to get vaccinated. I wonder, how has that been going?
Well, I mean, we're grateful to have the new Commissioner of Health, Commissioner Ige. She's being a welcoming change in terms of like the previous practices to the current ones, where we are urging people to get vaccinating. And I think the city was good in pushing the state to expedite their commitment to have vaccination protocols, health protocols at landing zones. It really like CDC guidelines said that, vaccination and health screens should be done in the ports of entry. But unfortunately, as you know, we have in the border governors that want to take us back to the civil wars and invest in law enforcement and criminalization rather than focusing on public health. Health vaccinations are critical. And, in the last, when the first case was detected, we mobilized at the direction of Commissioner Iggy. We mobilized our team. We have been working for weeks to address some of the issues of that we have had in some places, especially in large settings, the congregate settings like this, where you have unfortunately more, way more than what we should have. The shelter was planned for 1,000 people. So congregate settings, especially when this kind of virus is spread pretty fast, this is a very contagious spread in the virus. So measles, just so you have an idea, in every kind of every 9 out of 10 people will get sick, and if they're not vaccinated, especially for infants under 1 years old, is it could be a very serious a serious disease. So if you're vaccinated, on the other hand, it is you're safe. You can be exposed. You have absolute unherd immunity. But to reach to that point, we needed to get 95% people vaccinated. Because of the state delays and constant delays on getting the protocols on the landing zones, we have vaccinated people on site. It's not ideal because, as you know, misinformation spreads.
I was
We
going to
had
ask,
unfortunately.
has there been hesitation among the migrants about getting these injections from people who, after they've been, as you said, not necessarily treated very well?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, of course, as you know, there's of course a historic distrust of government and experimentation and all sorts of stuff. The treatment they've been receiving, so oftentimes not even in their, at the entry points in their own language. So it contributes to the misinformation and the hesitation, especially in cases that may have had vaccination, but they could not issue a vaccination card because there's no way sometimes for them to get back the documents in the countries of origin. So people who have traveled 2 or 3 countries before they arrive to the border, they're having already vaccinated 2 or 3 times. So, I mean, any human being will have the same question. Well, if I vaccinate again, is it safe, right? So sometimes just having that health navigator, that the nurse, makes a huge difference, and having it in their language. And unfortunately, again, we have got issues with these companies, favor staffing, people that coming from Texas, federal state contracts that, in my opinion, focus in law enforcement and not on public health. So Dr. Iggy mobilized her team with our, you know, our volunteer health navigators. I've been working for a few weeks already trying to address vaccination hesitation. But once there's an outbreak, you know, there's a sense of urgency now to get everybody above the 95% vaccination rate at the shelter, which gives herd immunity. And again, protecting everybody. Unfortunately, as I said, kids under 1 year old cannot get vaccinated. And thus it's critical that we put in isolation. And that's exactly what we did. There were about 9 families that were, you know, we mobilized immediately. I'm grateful for Dr. Iggy, which treat this as a public health matter, as we every elected official should do. But as you know, during the pandemic, even we saw the politicization of vaccination, misinformation, and that caused lives. You know, we lost 8,000 people during the pandemic. Many are essential workers. Similarly, you know, we want to make sure that not only we protect the public health of new neighbors, but residents. So we went to the schools. We have been talking with our local schools, the CEO, about increasing our vaccination rates in our local schools above 95% so that we can reach herd immunity. That's what we need to do, is we need to vaccinate children. We got to vaccinate people. And ultimately, you know, have better protocols. I'm glad that the commissioner insisted, and I think CDC was, as soon as they arrived to Chicago, they were working with the state to make sure that those protocols on the landing zones are followed, and again, that we protect the well-being and livelihood of Chicagoans as well as your neighbors.
All right, we're going to take a break on the program. We will continue with Chicago Alderman Byron Siccio-Lopez talking about the measles outbreak in the Chicago area. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us. It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the ongoing measles outbreak in the Chicago area. We're getting a firsthand account of the situation in one Chicago ward from Alderman Byron Siccio-Lopez, who represents the 25th Ward in Chicago. Before the break, we were talking about the effort to get people vaccinated. For the people who have caught measles, who have gotten sick with it, do you find that they are getting adequate treatment?
Yes, I mean, and like I said, I was on site on the, you know, on the Friday, just shortly after the first case was confirmed. I can attest, I personally, you know, work with a nurse or a doctor that was talking with one, you know, one of the persons that have been or was suspected at the time. Again, the labs, you know, took a little bit of time, but as soon as like they see symptoms, they see, you know, and there was suspicion, you know. It was important, you know, that we have navigators in their language to explain, because the fear, you know, I saw the fear on this young man when I was talking to him. And, you know, I came to this country when I was 17 years old. I can relate to it. And, you know, I had to get my vaccinations again. I had to do a lot of things that they're doing. And I can relate to sometimes, you know, the difficulties, right, when we don't have even the language barrier. So I spoke with him, you know, he received, of course, and he was afraid. He was afraid even going to the hospital because the family was not on the shelter yet. So, you know, we waited to make sure that he had communication with the family, that they know that, because there's fear of separations. I mean, you look at in Texas and other places, we've seen family separations. There's real fear here of real policies that have been implemented. These are conspiracies. So, you know, but when we speak and we talk, look, this is for your well-being, you know, was reemphasized by the nurse and, you know, having a medical doctor plus, you know, someone, and I even offer, look, I go with you to make sure that you know that you will not be separated from your family. You will not be at risk. This is, you know, of course, you know, make sure that, you know, you take proper isolation, that you get the test results back. And, you know, ultimately, of course, after, you know, a really scary situation, I mean, we spent that for about an hour, you know, before, you know, he was, of course, he understood, you know, what we're trying to say. And of course, the fear, and we, of course, make sure that his concerns were addressed. So people have been in isolation, families have been, again, immediately isolation when they could not be vaccinated. I personally am in touch with even some of the families so that I can assure them that, you know, especially infants, I'm a father of triplets, you know, I have triplets and, you know, they're almost 2 years old. So I relate to families who, I mean, my kids were, you know, born, you know, around the time of the pandemic, you know, this was a scary situation, you know, so I understand the fear of parents. And more, I didn't see, and again, the other stuff is the criminalization of the immigrant community that we've seen, you know, the stigmatization where, and again, fortunately, the city of Chicago is doing the protocols. And again, ultimately, and I tell you the evidence that we see from doctors is that most people that get measles actually, at least in the 2019, was for people who travel abroad, not vaccinated, and bring it back, right? It's not like migrants are, you know, diseased by, you know, that we're diseased by, you know, by who we are. I mean, the stigmatization as well, you know, in the classroom, that's what we're talking about, you know, with Chicago Public Schools. So I think that we know we're doing everything we can, you know, to make sure that at least here in the city of Chicago, and that's what we're proud to be, a sanctuary city. We respect, and this is thanks to Mayor Washington, you know, that we respect human rights. So I can attest that, you know, we've done everything we can. Of course, in my opinion, there's a lot more that we can do. Look at the example of Ukrainian refugees. 29,000 Ukrainian refugees came into the city of Chicago. 29,000. They receive a work permit at the door, and some, you know, health screenings, and of course the resettlement process. I understand the difference. You know, there's a Ukrainian community, so there's, and I think here is like what we want to make sure that we know that, you know, no matter who we are. I mean, we say Haiti right now in a tremendous turmoil, probably, and there's more people that are gonna come and arrive. We have Asians, we have people from Asia, from different parts of the world. So there's not only Latinos or Venezuelans, as is uncommonly, you know, stereotype, you know, but I do think that we talk about human beings ultimately. And I think that's why I think the city of Chicago is doing everything we cannot say that we're doing, you know, all the government can, because I think it's missing the federal government, state governments. I'm glad, I'm grateful that the state government now finally fulfilled the commitment that they made at the end of last year after a five-year-old boy tragically died of sepsis, right? We also seeing, unfortunately, you know, another little girl, three-year-old girl that died in transit from Texas to Chicago. So we don't want to see those things. So we cannot say that our federal and state governments have done everything they can. But I tell you that the push have worked. I'm grateful that the mayor of the city of Chicago is and the commissioner of health. Now we have protocols at the landing zones. That is important. Is what remains to be seen. Of course, is supporting our local schools, support for housing, and not only for new neighbors, for all Chicagoans. You know, I mean, we worry about evictions. I mean, I know, you know, and we're doing everything we can to the three people that were had to leave because of the time that they spent in shelters. Now they are back in the landing zone. We're trying to find shelter for everybody. 10,000 residents have been resettled. 13,000 remain in shelters. So we got to do more because we asked for isolation. We got to provide, you know, the shelter in place.
And let me mention to listeners, you and I are talking, it's Thursday, March 21 is when we tape this conversation. Our listeners are going to hear it on Monday. So keeping that in mind, this is a fast-moving situation. Alderman Byron Siqueiro-Lopez represents the 25th Ward in Chicago. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your time.
You bet. Thank you.